So this is just an admonition, and we will still have some time to quickly take that. We'll continue in the next service, the series, handling the scriptures rightly. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation. Oh. Chapter 3. Of course, we have taught Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. And it's on the website. Of course, you can get it so that it can help you to understand the writings of John in this book. This book is one that confuses a lot of saints and makes them to think that this is what John said, this is what he meant. Okay? John is someone who has a lot of understanding, and he wrote the epistles of John, right? First John, second John, third John, and the gospel according to John the same week. That's what historians tell us. The same week. That is around the same time. But he was diligent and disciplined enough to allow each book fulfill its purpose. You know, you would think that maybe before he, or maybe after Jesus died and rose from the dead, or maybe even before Jesus is dead, he had been documenting the gospel according to John. And so when Jesus died and rose again and left to heaven, he just published the book. And then as they continued and all of that, he now said, man, there's a lot more to write. He now wrote another one, first John, second John. No, he wrote them same week, but they had different purposes. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, he wrote the purpose of the gospel according to John. He firstly said that if we're going to write everything Jesus did, all the books in this world will not be able to contain it. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's why he wrote gospel according to John. So that means when you go to the epistles of John, John, when he wrote the gospel according to John, had the knowledge in the epistles when he was writing the gospel according to John. But that book had a purpose. He wrote so that those who read will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he stayed with that. In the epistles, according to John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "This is I write unto you that believe." He wrote to those who have believed. Not that they may believe. Of course, the King James writes it in a way that looks as though that they may believe. He writes, he says, "This is I write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe." No. I write to you that believe, that you may believe. No. Okay? So, I write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may be conscious, be aware, that when you believe, you receive eternal life. That's the reason he wrote 1 John. Amen? So, he had the knowledge in the epistle while he wrote the gospel, but he stayed with the purpose. Now, the book of Revelation also has a purpose. Like we said, he had preached for years. He was persecuted. They tried to kill him. They couldn't. And then he was banished to the island of Patmos so as just to prevent him from preaching Jesus. And while he was in the island of Patmos, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard a voice behind and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, first and the last, what thou seest, write in a book. And that's what you have here in the book of Revelation. So Jesus spoke to him. Now, John called the book the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Amen? One of the things that will also help you, it's possible that maybe you're used to it and is the way you say it and it doesn't affect you because you are well taught, but consciously do something about it. One of the things you must do is to stop saying the book of Revelations. Revelations chapter 2, Revelations chapter 5, Revelation, full stop. The revelation of Jesus Christ, an unveiling, a testimony, a revelation to make Jesus Christ known. That's different from seeing and knowing. Revelations, sights, sounds, that's different. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Amen? So, you may want to look at it from the standpoint of, it is Jesus that showed the things unto him. Yes, it is Jesus that showed the things unto him. So, the revelation is by Jesus, but the revelation is of Jesus. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So, crucial in what he saw is the testimony or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's important to note that. In verse 4, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Okay? I'm not trying to go over that teaching. That teaching is on the website. You can get it and it will help you. So in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's Jesus. To John. Verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. In verse 18, Revelation 1, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. It says, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. In verse 20, that's crucial. It says, the mystery, hidden knowledge, the mystery of the seven stars, because he saw seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Angel simply means messenger. In other words, pastor, the person in charge, the person God speaks to speak to the people. That's the messenger. That's God's messenger. That's angel. And then, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are what? The seven churches. So when he spoke from chapter 2 into chapter 3, talking about churches, okay, he wrote to the pastor what Jesus showed to him. There were commendations, there were rebukes and corrections. Now look at chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. And from verse 14, this is unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Paul mentioned this church in the book of Colossians. He says, right, this thing said the Amen. Hallelujah. The faithful and the true witness. Jesus is called the Amen. The faithful and a true witness. And true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So Jesus expressed his desire. He says, I know thy works. I know you are neither cold nor hot. And my desire is you are either of the two. Amen? So then, because thou art lukewarm, so to be neither cold nor hot is to be lukewarm. That simply means tepid. If you're going to talk about water, or if you're going to speak in terms of water, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're just warm. Okay? Maybe room temperature or a little above that, maybe somewhere around the middle, not, or maybe a range of room temperature and I don't know, let me just take a number, maybe around 45 degrees. If you are hot, you are, 90, 100, right? If you are cold, you are, let's take 15, okay? 15 and less. You know, lukewarm is around that, you know, room temperature, maybe take from, can 27 be warm? let's just take 30. Well, 27 can be, depending on, let's just say 30, between 30 and 45. I'm just saying, you know, I don't have the accurate facts, just using my head knowledge. Amen? So, around that, we're using water, right? Jesus says, I don't want you to be in this space. I want you to be here or there. Because if you are here, you cannot be mistaken. If you are there, you cannot be mistaken. But this middle that you are in, where are you? What will we call this one? Is it cold or hot? Amen? And see what he says. He says, you are not cold nor hot. Neither cold nor hot. I will spill thee out of my mouth. Amen? Because thou sayest, so look at the reason, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, verse 18, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Can you see this? So, they were lukewarm because of verse 17, basically. Now, God's counsel to them, or Jesus' counsel to them, was for them to be sound spiritually and for their glorying and their boasting to be in spiritual things. Rather, they focus on the material and put their confidence in that. Is it good to be rich? Yes. Is it good to be increased with goods? Yes. But when a Christian, remember I told you when we started service. No, not when we started service, when I started teaching. That the Christian gathering must be that place where your attention is placed on spiritual things. A Christian gathering is not where you are inspired to make money. Where you are encouraged to glory in your material resources. No. In Bible, what we find is, don't be covetous. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Does God want us to have money? Ah, yes. So, amen. Amen. But you cannot begin to glory in riches. Your confidence as a believer cannot be in how much you have. No. It must be in that eternal gift of God that you have. Your joy, your glorying, your rejoicing must be in that eternal gift. That eternal spirit. That eternal life. That grace, that benevolence of God that transcends this world. That shall be even in the life to come. Your glory should be in that. Amen? 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 Amen. Your So he rebuked them. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire. That's figurative. That's an illustration. Okay? That's a narration. Gold tried with fire. When he says that thou mayest be rich, he's using that to speak of spiritual things. Gold that is tried with fire. Works that have been tried, proven by fire. That is not fleshly, but of the spirit. I mean, when a church begins to glory in their building, is it good for churches to have buildings? Yeah, yes. So. Amen. Amen. Imagine we're under the tree outside now. Rain has fallen. Imagine. It will be wet. Okay, it's good for church to have building and comfortable one. But when we begin to glory in our building, say in Ibadan, we are the church with the best building. The best building. Well, Jesus will send John to us. I know thy works. Say, we impact our society every week. We feed the poor. Is it okay to do that? Yes. Should you give to the poor? Yes. It cannot be your glory. Amen? Hey, are you listening? It cannot be your glory. Works tried by fire so that you'll be rich. True riches now. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You anoint your eyes so that you can now see. So God wants us to constantly behold spiritual things. And that must be where our glory is. You're allowing the world to get to you when your material possessions is your confidence amidst the saints. They're becoming fleshly. In your conduct. So, you will take the rebuke of the Lord Jesus and his chastening, and you will become zealous or spiritual things. You repent of every assault, every of such thing. Amen, amen. Our glorying must be that eternal gift of God. Must be the work that we do for the Lord that has eternal value. So are we saying just pray and preach? No, there are other things that you can do. For instance, if you prepare the venue well, such that people are now comfortable to be blessed eternally, you have done well. Amen? The point is to make things that are of no eternal value to become your glorying and your rejoicing. That's lukewarmness. Amen? But as I close now, I'll say to you, aside what Jesus corrected the Laodicean church, because that's their works, that's what they did wrong, that's what they were doing wrong, that Jesus pointed their attention to. Anoint your eyes so that you can see clearly. And stop being materialistic. Stop being too wealth conscious. He wrote to the church. He didn't say don't own a business. He didn't say don't have money. He didn't say don't be comfortable in life. Mm-mm. But the church, wealth must not be our glory. Amen? It mustn't. Praise God. And when you see good examples like that, you emulate it. I remember when a particular country had suffered a heartquake. Or earthquake, sorry. No, not heartquake. Earthquake. Okay? A particular church pastor, just mention his name, that is Jew. Pastor Yeah, Adibuyi. He donated to a country. He didn't go about blowing trumpets. And he does that regularly. The number of churches he has given them money to raise their building, he does not go up on his media to start saying this. And there are many pastors like that. I'm just using him because commonly known. That's how Christians behave. Amen? Aside this, to be hot. Now, we won't interpret this in terms of fervency. Okay. You don't want you to be hot. What is cold? Cold is dead. No. It's a narrative. So, you are either here or there. In terms of what I say, I will spew you out of my mouth. This has nothing to do with having a bath. Amen. I say, if you use warm water, well, it's not that we're having our bath in Jesus' mouth. Okay? So that's not the point. The point is, if it is hot, we can tell. If it is cold, we can tell. If it is lukewarm, we cannot tell. Amen. It takes a lot to tell. So, it means you are in a place where you are mixing things together, so to say. Where you're probably comfortable with flesh, I mean spirit. So I just want to charge you in your Christian walk. Let it be obvious. I'm not saying do for showmanship. No. But yes, the Lord Jesus will be able to tell. Also, his saints will be able to tell. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Acts 18:24-25, the man Apollos, he was said that he was fervent in spirit. How did they know? They saw him. The way he went about preaching that John baptism that he knew, it was obvious. Banner everywhere, meetings everywhere. John baptism, he go and let the Holy Ghost have power about you. He was fervent with it. Seminar every 2 days. Everywhere, meeting, teaching John baptism. They saw it. Where are you? In the service of God. Hot? Cold? See, right now, don't interpret cold as anything like you have lost your fervency. Distinct. Hot, cold, or lukewarm. Can we tell in church? Can they tell at home? Say, wow. So, sister, so and so is a Christian. Your office mate, so they just realize, wow. So you're a committed church member. I've been lukewarm since. God just spoke to you through the lips of your colleagues. Hot must be apparent. You try to hide it, can't be hidden. Amen. Say, let me deceive her with this hot water. And you boiled it, and it was 100 degrees. You now put it in a container, you now put it here. We are seeing steam. You say you want to deceive someone that is not hot. How do you? Is that possible? Hey, come on, is that possible? Cold as well. The gas water go cold. Sorry, my pigeon. If you put it there, you will see icy fumes or what, smoke, or whatever it's called. Yeah, you see it. Say, this is what I call. Look what, can't tell. Which one is this? Is it 45 degrees or 27 or 30? Where are you, Jeff? Amen? Where are you? Well, watch lukewarmness. I'm not saying this to you to say you are lukewarm. I'm warning you, like Jesus warned the churches. Watch it. Fervency can be that visible. People can tell. If it's cold, if it's hot, people can tell. So it's hot. It's cold. Lukewarm. It's okay to come late to church. It's okay not to go for evangelism. It's okay. You know, just like, it's okay not to give this month. Just here and there. Yeah, I'm going to church. This one is okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay not to watch the way I speak at times. The way I address saints. We're just flowing. You know, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to do it. It's just accommodate things that God says, watch it. As lukewarmness. Watch it. Amen? 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 Amen. 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 Say, I'm on fire for God.
On fire for God.
On fire. Say, on fire. Say on fire. Say on fire. Say on fire. Say that's my story. That's my heritage. On fire for the Lord. Say, I have the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it's burning in me. It's burning in me. It's burning in me. It's burning in me. It's burning. It's burning in me. Causing me to be zealous for the Lord. Bringing passion in me. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God.